going to continue in Daniel this morning and get back into learning from him. So let me pray for us, and then we'll learn from Daniel together. Father, thank you for your grace, your goodness. We truly are a blessed people. We live in an amazing part of the world. God, we live in a country that is incredible. Father, thank you for all the blessings you've bestowed on us, the relational blessings, the financial blessings, the blessings of place. Thank you for the blessings you've given us with family. Father, thank you most of all for the blessing of your Son. And that, Father, we can live in this, in our lives with such hope because we are people that know the grace and the goodness of Jesus in our lives. Thank you for the love that your Son has bestowed on us. Thank you that we can walk every day in that love. Thank you that we can share that love with others. So, Father, this morning, as we continue to look at Daniel, as we continue to look at the idea of living in the world but not of the world, Father, I pray that you'll teach us. And may we be thankful this morning for your word and that your word is alive and your word is teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we started 3 weeks ago looking at the Old Testament character of Daniel. And we started looking at the idea of how do we today live in the world but not of the world? And that statement, how do we live in the world but not of the world, creates tension for us. It's like being a tightrope walker. You're trying to walk this fine line. It creates tension and it creates the question, how should we live as Christ followers in the 21st century? How should we do that? Daniel, living many years ago, lived in a pluralistic society, not unlike ours, a society that was antagonistic towards his faith. And as we saw a few weeks ago, our society is slowly becoming more antagonistic towards the Christian faith. And yet here's Daniel living in a society that's pluralistic, antagonistic, and yet Daniel lived with such high integrity and faith that kings and peasants and an entire nation ended up acknowledging his God. And so I think we can learn from Daniel, and I believe that God wants to raise up some modern day Daniels today. People who will live with such integrity, such faith, the leaders and people and entire communities will acknowledge Jesus. So let me take you back and remind you of what was going on in Daniel chapter 1, just so we're all on the same page. At the end of the 7th century and the beginning of the 6th century BC, saw the ascendancy of Babylon in the ancient Near East. It was also a time that not only was Babylon on the rise, but the Jewish people in the kingdom of Judah were continually refusing to listen to God. God had sent prophets to call the people to return back to him, and yet the people continued to decide to go on with their immorality and their idolatry. And so God allowed the Babylonians to come in and invade and defeat the kingdom of Judah and take the Jewish people into captivity. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon at the time. When he conquered a city, what he would do is he would take the best looking, and the brightest into captivity, and he'd ship them back to Babylon. Now, let me give you a little word about Babylon, because we're going to be looking at this city over the next several weeks together. A little bit about Babylon. The city of Babylon is referred to more than 300 times in the Bible. And it is often used as a symbol for ungodliness, sexual immorality, and idolatry, which tells you something about the actual city. At the time of Daniel, Babylon was the largest city in the world. And as this young kid came into Babylon from Jerusalem, he would have been struck by three things. Three things would have immediately struck Daniel about the city of Babylon. First of all, he would have seen its sheer elegance of the architecture. It was a city of beauty with amazing architecture. Secondly, he would have seen the advanced state of learning in the city. There were centers all over the city, centers of learning devoted to astronomy and law and astrology and architecture and religion and engineering and medicine and law. In modern terms, it was a thriving university city. Third was the idolatry. Idolatry permeated every part of the society to an unbelievable degree. That there were gods all over the place. The main gates of the city were named after key gods. There were more than 1,000 temples in the city. And although there are major differences between Babylon and Victoria, there are some similarities. We're a government town. We're a university city. We're a city of wealth and influence and beauty. We're also a city of sexual immorality and idolatry and religious pluralism. There are some similarities between Babylon and Victoria, and we'll see that as we carry on into the next few weeks. Back to King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, so when he would invade a city, he would take the best of the best and he would ship them off to Babylon, this incredible city, and there he would have them trained so they could work in his court. Now, Daniel was one of those, as we already know, who was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. He was about 14 years old when he was taken. So he was just a young teenager when he was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. And as I said a few weeks ago, before any young men could serve in the king's court, they'd have to undergo a total Babylonian makeover. A makeover that would strip away any attachment to their homeland and their heritage and their religion and their God. And so they were placed in a 3-year study program. They were given fine wine and food to eat and drink. And they had their names changed. And if you remember from 3 weeks ago, it wasn't just a name change. They were given names that were related to the false gods of Babylon. How would you have responded to that situation? How do you think Daniel responded? Well, let's find out. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 to 21. I'll read this passage and then we'll look at it together. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please, test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. 3 observations from these verses for us as we seek to live in the world but not of the world. First, I want us to notice how Daniel took a stand. Look again at verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. The royal food would have looked and smelled amazing, better than any Thanksgiving feast you're going to have this weekend. It would have been incredible. It was direct from the king's own kitchen. So why wouldn't Daniel eat it? Three reasons. Number one, the food provided would not have met the requirements of the Mosaic law. In Babylon, in this pagan city, no distinction was made between clean and unclean animals. Thus, to eat the king's meat would have been to break the Old Testament food laws. And Daniel decided that he was not going to defile himself by eating food that was forbidden by the Mosaic law. Second, the food and wine most likely had been dedicated to idols before it was presented to Daniel and his friends. And thus, Daniel would be defiling himself if he had eaten food that had been dedicated to idols. And thirdly, back in that day, if you accepted or ate the king's food, you were committing yourself to allegiance to the king. And some scholars feel that Daniel was rejecting the food because he did not want to make a total allegiance to the king. The bottom line is, in a foreign culture, Daniel was committed to remaining loyal to the God of Israel and his ways above all else. That was his commitment. Regardless of why he chose not to eat the food, he said, listen, I am not going to defile myself. I am going to remain loyal to the God of Israel and his ways above all else. And so Daniel went to the chief official, Ashpenaz, and he asked Ashpenaz for permission not to eat the food. And it was interesting how Ashpenaz responded. You may have noticed that his response was one of fear. Look again at verse 10. I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Like many ancient cultures, Babylon placed a premium on physical appearance. And Ashpenaz was afraid that if Daniel started eating rabbit food and drinking just water, that there would be a problem. That he wouldn't look good as the other students, and then Ashpenaz would get the blame from the king, and Ashpenaz would be executed because of it. So Ashpenaz says, I don't think so. Do you notice how Daniel responded? He didn't throw a hissy fit. He didn't go to the Human Rights Council. He actually respected Ashpenaz's reasons. You can see it, right? He's standing there and he says, I get it. Even as a 14-year-old or 15-year-old, I get it. You don't want to die. I respect your decision. But here's also something to note. Not only did Daniel respect Ashpenaz's position and his reason, he also didn't take no for an answer. And so he looked for another way to achieve his goal. And he decided that his next step was to approach a more junior official. Look at verse 11. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. Daniel suggested to the guard, a guy lower than Ashpenaz, that they should conduct a trial. That Daniel and his friends would eat nothing but vegetables and drink water for 10 days, and then the guard could compare them. And he could do whatever he wanted after he compared them. And then 10 days later, here's Daniel and his friends. They look healthier and better nourished than everyone else. So the guard continued to serve them vegetables and water. Made sense, right? I want us to see something here. Daniel is beginning to teach us how to live in the world, but not of the world. Daniel's beginning to teach us how to live as Christ followers in the 21st century. Here's lesson number one. Lesson number one, if you're taking notes, is this. Make a firm decision that you're going to commit to God and his ways above all else. Make a firm decision that you're going to commit to God and his ways above all else. And we're going to unpack this lesson one over these next few weeks as we journey together, because you're going to say, going to see over and over that Daniel made a commitment to God and his ways above all else, but he did it appropriately. Sometimes as Christ followers, when we make a commitment or we think we're making a commitment to God and his ways above all else, what we're becoming is legalistic jerks. And that's not what we're called to be. And we're going to learn from Daniel in the weeks ahead how we do that in the 21st century, how we actually can stand in public for God and his ways above all else, but do it in a way that honors God. So lesson one, we're going to keep unpacking lesson one in the weeks ahead, is you need to make a decision to commit to God and his ways above all else. Here's lesson number two. Lesson number two, treat people over you with respect. Treat people over you with respect. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 9 says this. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. God caused Ashpenaz to regard Daniel with favor and compassion. As Daniel treated his captors with respect, God used those positive interactions to cause his captors to show him favor and compassion. If we want to be people who have influence and influence those far from God, we need to show those people respect. King Nebuchadnezzar was not a nice guy. King Nebuchadnezzar served a demonic god. He trashed Jerusalem and the temple. He mocked God. He was murderous. He was vain. He was cruel. And yet we'll see as we go through these chapters at the beginning of the book of Daniel that every interaction Daniel had with King Nebuchadnezzar was respectful, which allowed Daniel to have incredible influence. We will never be able to influence anyone if our knee-jerk response to those who are far from God is one of disrespect and scorn. If we want to be people of impact, then we must be respectful to those others who are far from God. We need to learn that as a Christian community. We need to learn that from Daniel. That if we want to be people who have influence in the city in the 21st century, we need to learn to be respectful to those who are far from God, especially those who are over us. So what would it look like for you to treat those over you with respect and compassion this week? What would it look like for you to treat those who are over you with respect and compassion this week? Your teacher, your professor, your boss, your manager. What would it look like for you to treat that person with respect and compassion? As you do that, you gain a platform of influence. The second observation I want us to make today is to notice how Daniel handled his education. During their three-year training program, Daniel and his friends would have been taught all about Babylonian culture, the positive and the negative. They would have learned all about astrology and sorcery. They would have learned all about the false gods. The king wanted Daniel and his friends to want Babylonian things, to think Babylonian thoughts, to embrace the Babylonian gods, to conform to Babylonian culture. He didn't want Jewish thinking people in his court. He wanted Babylonian thinking people in his court. Now, how would you have responded if you were Daniel? And they said, hey, we're going to put you in a three-year training program where we want to erase all thoughts of your God and his ways, and we want to put you here, and we're going to teach you about sorcery. We're going to teach you demonic stuff. We're going to teach you all this. How would you respond? How would you respond if your kids were put in that situation? Notice how Daniel responded. He didn't protest. He didn't rebel against the education. He didn't hide from it. Daniel excelled at it. Daniel and his friends put such effort into learning all about Babylonian culture that they were star pupils who ended up top of the class. When the king interviewed them, he found them 10 times better than anyone else in all the empire. Isn't that crazy? Daniel, this God follower, went in and dove into all this pagan, secular, ritualistic education. He dove head on into it, and he excelled at it. Yes, Daniel was forced into a 3-year education program, but he wasn't forced to excel at it. That was the choice he made. He made the decision to study hard and graduate top of his class. Doing so, as we will see, gave him a platform and credibility that he needed once he was in the king's court. In fact, it gave him the opportunity to introduce the king to the true Most High God. And I would suggest that we need to follow Daniel's example and seek to study and work hard. And we need to excel at what we do. Then, like Daniel, we too will earn credibility and a platform of influence. If you're in university and they're teaching you stuff that you don't think is God-honoring, dive in, learn it, so you can have a platform of influence. If you're a teacher, be the best teacher you can be. Work well with your principal. Work well with your students. Excel at it so you can have a platform of influence for Jesus. If you work at Starbucks as a barista, be the best barista you can be. Excel at it so you can have a platform of influence. Christians should be known as the people in the school system and in the workforce who do the best at what God has given them so they can reach their full potential, so they can have a platform of influence. We need to understand that. We need to understand that the reason Daniel was so successful in influencing his culture was because he dove in to learn about his culture. Now, I think Daniel was committed to learning about this culture because he wanted to engage with the culture. Daniel would have known about the writings of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And that prophet not only predicted the people of the kingdom of Judah going into Babylonian exile, but Jeremiah also knew that God wanted the Jewish people to settle in Babylon and make the best of their lives. Listen to these. These are verses that speak to us. Jeremiah 29, it says this. Here's the Israelites. They're being taken into captivity in a foreign pagan country. And here's what Jeremiah says they're to do. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The Jewish people, get this, were to seek the peace and the prosperity of a pagan city that was full of sexual immorality, ungodliness, and idolatry. Isn't that crazy? That's what they were called to do. Daniel knew this. And as we'll see, he sought to do this. Daniel was assigned to Babylon. Seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon, Daniel. The early Christians, they were assigned to Rome. Seek the peace and prosperity of Rome. You know where they're assigned? Right here. Seek the peace and prosperity of Victoria. Folks, we are not called to hunker and hold back from involvement in our city. What we are called to do is to maintain a positive, distinctive faith while getting involved in the life of our city. Unfortunately, today we are more prone to keep our personal contact with godless leaders and institutions to a minimum. And yet, if we want to influence our city for Jesus, we need to change our tactics. Instead of avoiding or attacking the leaders of our day, we need to begin to engage them the same way Daniel did, with respect and compassion. Without contact, there can be no impact. And I'm afraid a modern-day Daniel would be considered by many in the church as a spiritual compromiser. Look at Daniel. He's hanging around with that city leader. That city leader serves a demonic god. That city leader's pagan. What's Daniel doing with him? Why is Daniel showing respect to that boss of his? That boss of his is off the charts. Why is Daniel hanging around with these pagan people? He can't be walking with Jesus. I think many of us would think of Daniel that way. You know, one thing I've always found strange is we'll send a missionary out, like the Krons, to Tanzania. And if they befriend the witch doctor in their village, we'll celebrate that. We'll say they're heroes. It's incredible. Look at the inroads they're making to the dark part of their village. And we'll get a picture of them and the witch doctor, and we'll put it on our fridge so we can pray for them. But if a pastor in our city befriends the leaders of the gay movement, or befriends the leaders of the pro-choice movement, or befriends a local Mormon bishop, we roll our eyes and think something's wrong. And I think we need to learn from Daniel that we need to change how we view engaging the leaders in the city. And we need to be people who seek the peace and prosperity of the city. And that's why we need to learn from Daniel how to live in the world but not of the world. Let me give you two more lessons this morning. Lesson number three, here it is, do great work. Whatever you're doing, do it great. If you're working for the government, do great work. If you're working in the private sector, do great work. If you're at school, do great work. Study hard. Do great work. It will earn you credibility and a platform of influence. Lesson number four, engage the culture and the people around you. We're going to learn lots more about this in the coming weeks, but engage the culture and the people around you. We are to seek the peace and prosperity of this city. And you can't do that without engaging. So here's a challenge for you this morning. In a few weeks, Halloween's coming. I don't know what your deal is with Halloween, but on Halloween night, many church people, they pull down the blinds, turn off the lights, and they hide in their cupboard so that they don't have to deal with the kids coming to the door. There's a guy in our neighborhood. He's moved, thank you, but he's moved. And he used to give out tracts to kids that they needed to basically turn or burn on Halloween. Sweet way to give witness, you know. Now, some of you may be thinking that's a good idea. It's not. Bad idea, not good, don't do it. Not the way to engage your neighbors. All right, trust me, because I heard all about it. Here's the thing. Halloween's coming. Here's a prime way for you to engage your neighborhood. How about you adopt your block at Halloween? Adopt your block at Halloween. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. You got to figure out how you want to do that. Adopt your block on Halloween. Rather than just shrinking back and hiding and not getting involved, get involved. And you may say, well, Halloween's a pagan holiday. Yeah, so is Christmas, but we celebrate Christmas. We can get involved. I'm not saying you got to celebrate Halloween. I say you can get involved in Halloween. And you can go out and you can adopt your block. What would that look like? And here's our final observation for today, and it's this. Notice in chapter 1 that as Daniel lived in Babylon, God was active in his life. It says this, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding. Daniel was able to take a stand. Daniel was able to respect his captors. Daniel was able to study Babylonian culture, including its pagan roots and rituals. He was able to do all that because he knew the presence and the power of God in his life. Daniel's power to impact his world came as an outflow from his relationship with God. And if we want to effectively be in the world but not of the world, if we want to become modern day Daniels, then we too need to walk with God. Folks, cultural transformation begins with personal transformation. We need to engage God as we engage our culture. Being in the world and not of the world begins with us deciding to follow Jesus. And so I want to end with two challenges this morning quickly. The first is this. Number one, if you've never decided to follow Jesus, do it this weekend on Thanksgiving weekend. Jesus wants to come into your life. He wants to engage you. He wants to transform you, and he wants to transform the world around you. Second, for those of you that are walking with Jesus, here's my challenge this week. This week, consider making the commitment to become a modern-day Daniel. Say, I want to be like Daniel. As we go through this series, I want to learn how to be a modern-day Daniel. I believe God wants to raise up some modern-day Daniels from within this congregation. Commit to being one of them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Father, thank you that we can learn. God, I pray that all of us will know you. I pray that all of us will commit to you and your ways above all else. And I pray, God, in this congregation that you will raise up modern day Daniels who will go out into the city and seek the peace and the prosperity of the city in such a way that people find you and the city is transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.